I'm Mark Bayshore. Americans have strongly polarized beliefs about whether global warming is a reality. A survey run by the University of Michigan that's been going on for 7 years indicates that maybe people are more likely to believe it is when they have witnessed extreme drought or brutal winter weather. Current State's Melissa Benmark joins me for more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. I spoke with Dr. Barry Rabe about the findings. He's a public policy scholar at Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington, D.C., and a professor at the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. And he also co-directs the National Surveys on Energy and the Environment, which produced the survey and the report.
This is part of an ongoing national U.S. survey on various aspects of climate change that's done twice yearly, fall and spring, that began in the fall of 2008. What we have now are the results from our spring 2015 survey, which we then can compare back across those earlier time periods. So that's what's in play at this point with our latest numbers of I'm trying to put a finger on the pulse of where Americans are on various aspects of climate change, believing in whether or not it exists, how serious a problem it is, and then into some policy areas as well.
So what are the latest findings on that?
Well, we've been tracking one particular question throughout this period, and that really relates to how Americans view global warming. And a relatively simple question that we've asked for some time is, do you believe there's solid evidence that average temperatures on Earth have been getting warmer over the past four decades? In our latest round, again, this is a national survey across the United States, 63% of Americans say yes in response to that question. 24% say no. The affirmative side on that is actually up a bit from last fall and the previous spring, actually up 8 percentage points. This is a question that we've seen a lot of volatility in over the time that we've been doing this work. Others have seen the same thing. Probably a lot more volatility in response to that question in the U.S. than elsewhere. And it really has been an interesting one with the latest evidence suggesting there's a bit of an upswing, but still somewhat of a mixed verdict on this.
And do you think it has somewhat to do with people's observations on climate and weather, whether or not those are actually related to global warming?
Well, we do. And, you know, first of all, when you look at the American population, it splits in a number of ways. The most familiar one, of course, is political partisanship or party affiliation. We see all of that. Those numbers move around quite a bit, whether you're speaking with a Republican, an independent, or a Democrat. But when you average those and even look more deeply into each of those categories, we've become increasingly convinced as this work has progressed that the public's relatively recent experience with weather or perception of that weather can go a long way. Now, when we talk about, you know, global warming, we talk about climate change issues, we're talking about long-term periods and trends, but how do people really come to terms with that, presuming they aren't spending 12 hours a day studying the latest in climate science? Very few folks have time to do that. And we have noticed a lot of volatility in the response, and usually somewhat warmer summers or weathers or even extreme conditions can produce some variation in outcomes. In turn, when we ask people, you know, why did you answer that question the way in which you did and then code those, we often are really struck by seeing how frequently people refer to, you know, not a debate over science or other things, but their own personal experience with weather, whether that's in central Michigan, that's in Texas or somewhere else. And weather is going to vary in those areas, of course.
Now, just to make sure I understand this right, this survey was talking to a wide variety of people in terms of their spectrum on what they believed, or was this just talking to doubters?
This was across the board. This is everyone who responded to our outreach was included in this one.
Obviously, in Michigan, we're pretty aware of the severity of our winters, and you'll hear people saying after a particularly bad one, well, this can't be global warming. Look at all that snow. Are people starting to understand that it's more complicated than that, do you think?
I think so, and there's some evidence of that, and yet the tendency remains to emphasize very heavily that more localized and recent experience. In the Midwest, we found that the percentage, including Michigan, the percentage of respondents who cited personal weather observations as the primary factor for expressing doubt. Well, that was a very high percent, but actually it holds on both sides of the equation. So it's not clear that this is really changing all that much in terms of where people are going and getting information, although it does vary from time to time in terms of what piece of evidence that you invoke to explain how you feel on a particular issue.
This survey finds, as you said, that views on global warming and perceptions of weather are closely connected. One thing that would be helpful, give us an example of what people might observe that is actually indicative of climate change and what they might observe that they might think is, but in fact is just a matter of a local weather pattern.
So, among the things that begin to emerge, certainly in some parts of the country, are concerns about drought, particularly in those areas. Think of Texas, Arizona, some of the southeastern states. You don't hear much reference from folks in Michigan or Ohio that recent experience with drought or shortfall in rain has been a concern, and then linking that. That conversation changes when you start talking to folks in those states that have experienced a drought, much the same in California. So again, this is part of this pattern that we see, or even extreme weather events, perhaps a hurricane or something that's a severe storm pattern, something along those lines. Again, with the thought that this is going to vary from microclimate to microclimate, state to state, region to region, but we do see some volatility in those areas.
It seems like it's usually the case that people are, more willing to believe in something if they've actually seen it themselves. But it also seems like by the time you really see it, it might be too late. I mean, I'm reminded of the zebra mussels and the Great Lakes problem that, people weren't really taking that all that seriously until they had to start scraping them off of things in the water. Do you think that's a uniquely American trait or is it just a human one? I mean, are other cultures more likely to believe the science before it gets to the point where they're actually seeing it in front of their eyes?
This is an ongoing question in areas of certainly environmental policy, public policy more generally, but certainly the environment. How bad does something have to get? How strong does that evidence have to be? And so the zebra mussel example is a great one. We can think back to air quality concerns of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, where you literally could see the issues. You could see the plumes. You could see the emissions. You could smell it. You could physically feel it. Water contamination, much the same way. And what is the threshold you have to reach before society really engages? Clearly, when you turn to climate change, when you have that amount of debate or uncertainty over whether global temperatures are even warming, it becomes probably even harder than from a policy standpoint to reach any kind of consensus about what to do. Although when we've begun to look at different steps on energy policy, emissions policy, and so forth, there actually is in some cases, a broader consensus, and in some cases, folks who harbor doubts about even the existence of global warming kind of cross over, then it's a, gee, I think this is something that governments ought to be doing anyway. But clearly, what you suggest is a huge, huge challenge to put this issue onto the political agendas in places like Lansing, the federal government, and to reach some kind of consensus on how to respond to it when there's that level of imprecision in terms of understanding what's going on. Or how closely to relate this to what is this going to mean for me. I think this does become a kind of an interesting intergenerational puzzle as we begin to think about global warming or climate change issues for now or decades or generations beyond. How severe are things going to be in what timeline? How much time do we have? Probably a lot of debate and uncertainty about that. And I think clearly when you don't see that immediate, dramatic, clear cause and effect connection, it probably is harder to engage the public in a substantial way, either to study the issues more closely, much less to perhaps change their behaviors in some way that might alleviate the problem.
Certainly there are a lot of very visible people who are openly skeptical about whether global warming is real. But to sort of turn the tables on that, what mistakes, if any, do you think the scientists who believe that it is real are making in their efforts to raise public awareness?
Communication in this area is just an enormous challenge. The science here is very complicated, and it is always one thing to talk about where we are now or where we have been, much less the more challenging issue of what's going to happen a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10. We're looking at probabilities, estimates based on some very, very thorough data gathering and modeling exercises. But how one begins to explain what we do know and what those areas of uncertainty are going to be going forward is both an enormous challenge, but also an enormous opportunity for the scientific community as it begins to move into this area, not just continuing to refine the science, but looking at public communication issues. You know, here I think we've seen an enormous effort by folks in the academy to try to do this. And even on a state-by-state basis in Michigan, we have a very capable state climatologist who, and like in a number of other states, not only looks at sort of global patterns and global trends, but actually tries to look at how Michigan is changing, how the climate in Michigan has been changing, growing seasons, when does spring begin, what does this mean for crops, what does this mean for other factors and forces in the state that really makes it relevant for folks. And I think that is a further opportunity going forward, and even from a policy perspective, as we think not just about the international dimensions of this and the Paris meetings later in the year, but how individual states or regions are going to be thinking about this, whether it's trying to mitigate the damage to better understand it, or in some cases, and we're beginning to see this in Michigan as well, beginning to make adaptation to likely changes, if there's going to be changes in storm activity or water access or water levels, these kinds of things. How do you begin to kind of get ahead of the curve on that? Because changes are already underway, and we're likely to see more. So there are enormous challenges on this, but I think some really interesting work is being done, including work in the state.
Dr. Barry Rabe, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.